having nothing to do with our obedience and everything to do with His obedience. So the translation is extremely accurate. That's a good place to give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So I want to talk to you today about what are strongholds. What was Paul speaking to? What was he speaking about when he talked about strongholds? I brought this scripture up Wednesday night. Romans 12:2 says, "For us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind." Has anybody here had a changed mind? The Bible said, without repentance, there is no forgiveness or no remission of sin. Repentance is nothing more and nothing less than a changed mind. You've got to change your mind. Has anybody here had a changed mind? You've got to change your mind about who you used to be and who you now are, what you used to desire and what you desire today. It's a changed mind. You need to renew your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Where is the battle fought? Joyce Myers actually has a book, and I encourage everybody to get it, buy it, and read it, Battlefield of the Mind. How many realize that's where the enemy loves to fill your head with doubts and fears and unbelief and struggles and turmoils and challenge and defeat? It's all in your mind. Are you a negative person or a positive person? In fact, I thought as I begin to feel the message coming to me, the Lord was giving me this message, and I'll set this up so that you guys know, because that's kind of a tough question, and I want you at the end of this service to go away with a great hope of who God is and a great hope of what God has done and what He will do in your life. I want this to be a message that when you leave, you say, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. But I thought as I asked that question, are you a negative or are you a positive person? Another question comes to mind, are you somebody that somebody else ought to follow? Are you worth following? Could somebody mimic or imitate your life? And what would their life look like? And what would their life become? 1 John 4:4, I love this scripture. It says, "Little children, you are of God." This is an amplified, so I've put in yellow the things that were put in there amplified. "Little children, you are of God. You belong to Him." Tell your neighbor, you belong to God. Don't you love that? Is anybody happy that you belong to God? You belong to the King of Kings. You belong to the Lord of Lords. You belong to El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. You belong to Yahweh. You belong to the Peacemaker and the King of Kings. You belong to Him and have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because He who lives in you is greater. He is mightier than he that is in the world. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
What is fear keeping you from doing? What is fear gripping you and stopping you from being who God has called you and what has God placed in your life to become? What fear keeps you from starting that new business? What fear keeps you from buying that house? What fear keeps you from starting that new job? What fear keeps you from saying yes to somebody in a committed relationship? What keeps you? What fear stops you? What keeps you in the boat when God wants you to step out on the waters of faith and believe God through the storm? What fear? Does anybody know anything about fear? What fear prevents you from being all that God wants you to be? I love what 2 Timothy writes, "For God hath not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Give God a hand clap. Amen. Amen. 365 times the Bible says, "Do not fear." Now, I don't know if you guys catch that. There's 365 days in a year. That cannot be coincidence that God ordered in the writings of His word, sacred words, "Do not fear." 365, you know why? That needs to be a reminder for us every day. Don't fear, don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. Every day. How many need to be reminded of that every day of the year? Don't fear. Get up tomorrow. Just know God said in His word, "Do not fear." Get up the next day. God said in His word, "Do not fear." 365 reminders in His word for every day of the year. Do not fear. How often do you want to quit? How often do you want to just say, "I'm done"? How often do you want to just give in to your feelings and say, you know what, I've had all I can take. I can't take no more. I'm finished. The struggle is difficulty. The challenges of life are hard. And I just don't know that I can live this Christian life. I just don't know that I can live free. I just don't know that I can have it. How often do you want to quit? How often? Winners never quit. Quitters never win. Some of the great successes in life were accomplished by people that failed many, many, many times. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know why you have to change how you think? Because if you live the sum total of what you've thought about, that's who you become. If you allow yourself, you'll be everything you think. If you don't change how you think, you'll never change how you live. How many know what I'm talking about? You've got to be one that overcomes your thought life. You've got to believe that you can do it. Can I hear an amen?
Yeah.
It's not even funny, dude.
It is.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You gonna give me your best?
I'm gonna give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. I get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does it.
There you go, baby.
There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go.
Come on.
It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Not the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on, keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
Your arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. Keep going!
most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I want a 160.
Amen. So you sometimes just hear the Holy Spirit saying that to you. You can do it. You can do it. A little farther. Don't give up. Don't stop. Keep pushing. Keep going. How many have ever started a diet? Was that just dirty pool? That was just wrong. How many have ever started something you didn't want to finish? I want to ask you today, what are you listening to? What are you listening to? Just because you failed does not make you a failure. Isaiah, the prophet of God, in 53:1 said, he asked us, whose report will you believe? Whose report are you going to listen to? Who's talking into you? Who is speaking their life into you? Who are you allowing, giving them opportunity to tell you things? You may be surprised, not everyone has your best interest at heart. Not everybody wants you to succeed. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There are people that you surround yourself with that are not interested in your success. They're looking for you to fail. They're looking for you to fall flat. Don't let others set their limits on you. Philippians 4:13, almost all of you can quote this. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Say that with me again. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. It's time to dream again. Yeah. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's time to dream again. Surround yourself with dreamers. Both in Matthew chapter 9 and in Mark chapter 5 tells us a very interesting story that takes place. Jesus has been teaching on the other side of Galilee from a man by the name of Jairus, who lived on this side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is teaching a group of people, and everywhere Jesus went, there were miracles and healings and just things that God did. He just showed up in every situation. But while he's teaching, Jairus had a daughter that grew ill. How many remember this story? And Jairus got concerned about the welfare of his daughter, and he began to pursue Christ. How many, because of life situations, decided it's time to pursue Christ? I can't make it without him. I need him more than anything. How many need God more than anything? Amen. You're in good company. So he began his journey to find this Jesus. And when he got all the way around to where Jesus was, he thought, I've got to somehow be able to get his attention so I can tell him about my problem. And I don't know how I'm going to reach him. He's so busy. But I've got to get to him. He finally gets his attention. He says, Master, I need you to come and I need you to heal my daughter. And I love, because God is such a wonderful, wonderful, kind, merciful God. He's never too busy for us. Can you say amen? So Jesus says immediately, I will come right now and I will heal your daughter. And you know, it doesn't tell us exactly how long it took, but on their journey, they were met with some of the people that were at the house of Jairus. And they walked up to Jesus and they walked up to Jairus. And they said, it's too late. It's too late. Have you ever got a mess so big that you thought even God couldn't help you out of it? Yeah. You ever got something that was just beyond what you thought could even be helped by you? Yeah, I mean, we talk about impossible. You might say, have you seen my checkbook yet lately? It is impossible. Even God can't take us out of this situation. And the Bible said that Jesus looked at them and he said, listen, Jairus, your daughter is only asleep. If you read in Matthew or in Mark's writings, chapter 5, verses, I think somewhere around 35, 36, it says that they laughed at him. They started laughing. They were, in other words, what they were saying was, you don't even know what you're talking about. We just left the house. We already saw that she was a corpse. She was dead. And now you're telling us that she's only asleep. They laughed. You know, there are people today that look at your lives trusting God and they're laughing. They're saying, I cannot believe. How many thought maybe when you got saved that it was just a passing fancy? It was just a phase you were going through that it wouldn't last. My good friend, Brother Joe Crook over here at CFC here in Palermo, years ago when he got saved, I got saved when I was just a kid, but he got saved as he just entered into his adulthood. And Brother Joe had been known for a lot of his interest in life. He started off riding bikes, then he started racing cars, and then he liked his guns, and he liked his coins, and he had all these different hobbies and interests. And I remember that when Joe gave his life to the Lord, his family said, well, this is just another one of his phases. It's never going to last. I remember hearing some of his family members laugh, saying, this will never it'll never work out. He's never going to stay serving the Lord. And I can tell you today, there are many people who marked you the day you accepted Christ. They said, you'll never, they laughed at it. They didn't think for a moment that you would continue serving God. But I've known Brother Joe for many years. He hit his 60th birthday. I don't mind telling you. He won't mind. He doesn't hear me. Anyway, he hit his 60th birthday, and he's still going strong for the Lord, standing on Joshua 24. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I want you guys to get the thrust of this story. They finally make their journey's end, and they get to Jairus' house. And when they get there, they can hear the mourning that is going on inside of the house over the death of Jairus' daughter. He can hear them crying and weeping and wailing and oh me and oh my and all sad and it was terrible. And Jairus, if you listen to that, it'll grab your faith and turn it. Finally, Jesus said, we've got to go in. We have a task to do. You see, we serve a God that can move mountains. We serve a God that nothing is too difficult for him. We serve a God where he takes impossibilities and makes them possible. We serve a God that knows how to provide where there is no provision. He calls nothing and makes it something. He knows how to create out of thin air. There is nothing too hard for our God. Now notice what he does. When he walks in, he leaves all of his disciples but three. And I find that interesting in and of itself. Only three of his disciples did he allow to go in there with him. Then another thing that he did, he only took Jairus, he took his wife with him into the house. And then he took everyone that was in the house and he put them out. Everybody say, put them out.
Put them out. Come on.
You know, some of you got some people right now in your life you need to put out. Some of you got some people in your life that are speaking negative, doubt, fear, unbelief into your life. They're speaking all the things that they're trying to bring you down, and they're speaking it. Can I tell you, in the name of Jesus, you need to put some of these people out. You need to put them out. They don't need to be in your life. What they're doing is they're robbing the joy and the victory that God wants you to have. They're telling you that you can't, and God says you can. They're telling you that you won't, and God says you will. They're telling you that God's not big enough. I'm telling you today that God is sufficient. He is more than enough. He is a way maker. Jesus recognized if there was a miracle to take place, it wasn't going to be where all the naysayers were. It wasn't going to be with all the doubters are at. It wasn't going to be with all the negative people. Can we get some Josephs in the house? People people that are willing to dream again. People that are willing to believe God no matter what circumstances look like. No matter how bad the dark night gets. No matter how severe the trial is. I don't care what the doctor says. What does God say? I don't care what the mortgage company says. What does God say? I don't care what the boss says. What does God say? Come on, can we get some Josephs that will surround us to dream again, that will believe again? I know that life is tough, and I know there are times it hurts, and I know there are struggles that it seems like I can't go another moment. Have you been there before? Have you ever been in a place you thought, I don't believe I can take one more thing. I don't feel like I can take one more negative attack. I don't believe I can hear one more sad story. I don't believe I can look at another sad life. I can't, but I want you to know, God is still God. Yes. And there is nothing He cannot do. We need some Josephs. Can I hear an amen? We need some people that are willing to believe again and then stand with other people to help them believe. We need some people that are willing to dream again and help people dream the dreams that they set aside and said, it'll never happen. It'll never work. Jesus walked into where this daughter was, and He took her up by the hand. And she rose to her feet. Some of you got some dreams that God needs to resurrect. Some of you got some struggles that you thought there's no way you're going to live victorious. I want you to know God still got a plan for your life. I don't care. You may face some things and you may think, I don't know how I'm ever going to be what God wants me to be. And I can many times look at my own life and say, God, I don't know how You chose from where I came from to bring me to who I am. Looking at them from the outside, it didn't look possible. I remember when I went into district work, and I remember the peers, those who I worked with, and I remember hearing and feeling those that would say, well, how can he be put in those positions? Who is he? I remember feeling like a young David. The Bible said that even his brothers didn't have confidence in him. If you know the story, even his father didn't have confidence, because when Samuel came to the house of his father Jesse to anoint the next king, he didn't even invite David into the house. David wasn't even thought enough about. And I know there are those that have marked and called you a second class citizen, or that you'd never make it if they look at your past and they measure your future by it. But I want you to know God sees it differently. God looked at David and God anointed him by Samuel to be the next king. And I remember when he stood before Goliath, when Goliath could find not one person willing to stand. And if you know the story, King Saul, the Bible says, was head and shoulders above his entire army. He was a big man by himself, but he wouldn't go against Goliath. And David is just a ruddy-faced kid. And David said, I'll fight him. I'll do it. I'll step up. God's looking for you and I who will grab onto the arm of God and say, you know, if God be for me, who then can be against me? And if God can speak a dream in me, then God can bring it to life. Some of you have given up right before God's victory in your life. You've stopped and said, I don't know that I can ever move forward. And I'm telling you today, it's time, church, that we rise for the hour that we've been. What a great day to know Jesus Christ. What an amazing time in history to be called of God for this place and for this hour. I want to encourage you today. I don't care what the enemy has meant for evil. God can turn your situation around. I don't care what the enemy sought to do and how he would destroy you. God has not lost any. Put your confidence back with God. Daniel, would you come? Stand with me and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. How many will make a decision today to reevaluate some relationships in your life? Not a one. How many will make a decision today to reevaluate some of the relationships in your life? Will you reevaluate them?
Yes.
Will you make a decision today to think about who you're letting yourself listen to? I was thinking about, as I begin to work to get just the one clip that we used, I looked at so many different things to try to encourage. I listen to preaching all the time. I don't listen to preaching just Sunday and Wednesday. I surround myself with the Word of God. I want it to pour into me. I want the Word to penetrate this thick skull and get down into my heart. Listen to the Word of God. I want it to change how I think. Amen. I want to allow myself to surround myself with people that believe. I want to put people and allow people that God puts in my life to be there. But I have to evaluate like Jesus did. And when he heard the negative that was going on inside of the house, he knew if there was going to be a miracle, he was going to have to put them out. Now I'm telling you today, and I believe this of the Holy Spirit, some of you are wrapped tight with people that are hurting your spiritual walk. You're wrapped tight. You think because you've been with them so long that you can't possibly change your environment. But listen to me. There are people that are harming your destiny. You know, at the end of the day, when your life has played out its course, the question that you would have to ask is, did I do everything that God placed for me to do? Did I impact my world? Did I change anybody's heart? Because if you listen to those that are negative, you hear their message, they'll tell you you're such a failure. You're not good enough. God doesn't love you. Don't expect more than you have. You'll never do that. You'll never be that person. You know, I'm bothered by parents that put titles on their children that are negative, calling them stupid and worthless, telling them they'll never amount to anything. I get mad at the school system when a teacher calls a child a name and says, you're never going to get that. You're never going to be that. You can never do that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Stop listening to the lies. God has a plan for you. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, every one of you, God has a destiny marked for you. I'd be looking for a few Josephs. Can I tell you, you'll never have too many Josephs in your life. Find a few Josephs that will speak into you, that will be an encourager. It'll be somebody that will help you when you're really going through a hard time. Trust him. Bless us. I want to thank you for this house. I want to thank you for every person, every guest, every person that calls PBFC home. I want to thank you, God, for what you're doing in us. I want to thank you, Lord, for the message that is in the gospel, the good news, a message of hope, a message of freedom, a message of salvation, a message of deliverance, a message of destiny. Thank you, Lord, for calling us out of darkness, calling us into light. Thank you, Lord, for setting our feet appropriately on the rock, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for establishing both our coming in and our going out. You've ordered our steps. You've established our direction. God, I pray that you would make Josephs out of us. that you would surround us, God, with Josephs. People who will be positive. People who will speak into us. People who will challenge us. Stay at it. Keep going. Dig. Push. Don't stop. Don't give up. I know it's hard. Don't give up. I know, but it hurts. And I know, but don't give up. God, surround us with men and women who will believe that greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. God, surround us with Josephs, people that will give life to our dreams, who will believe that no matter what's behind us, the future is bright, and that you still have something better for us. Nonetheless, maybe you've come today. You've joined our service today. And you've never made a decision for Christ Jesus. Maybe you're listening to this message on the internet. You thought it was a coincidence that you happened onto our page. Somebody shared this message and you thought it was just by chance. I want to encourage you right where you're at. Right where you are, to make a decision for Christ Jesus. Jesus Himself spoke to us in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door. If anyone will hear my voice and open, I will come in. And I will eat with you and you will eat with me." I want to invite you to make what I know to be the most important decision of your life. Most decisions affect the here and now. They affect this life. But the decision of what I'm asking you to make is a decision of eternity. It'll forever mark your destiny beyond this life. It takes you from this life into the life of hereafter. I want to invite you to pray a very simple prayer. Those that are here that would like to pray it, our congregation is going to pray, and you can pray with us. I will not single you out. It was not my desire to embarrass you. If you're listening on the internet, you may be driving in your vehicle listening. You can pray this prayer with us while we pray. You may be in your home. You may be on your job. I want to encourage you to just simply, right where you're at, make a decision. Paul writes to the church of Rome, chapter 10, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." So I want you to pray with us. Simple prayer. Congregation, pray with me. Heavenly Father, today I make a decision to invite Jesus Christ into my life, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Forgive me today of all sin. Wash me clean. Wipe the slate clean. Today's a brand new day. I start a new life with you as my Savior, with you as my Lord. Today's decision affects not only today and not only tomorrow, but it affects my eternity. So I receive today eternal life in Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Father, bless this house. Every single man, every woman in this place, I pray that you will give them divine protection. I pray that you would give them divine provision. God, you are a way maker. Touch their life. Bless them abundantly, God. Give to them the things that they have need of, Lord. Watch over them and protect them in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said in agreement, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you would like special prayer this morning, I would love